Welcome to Classy Ring Attire. I'm Chris.
I'm Joel.
And we're going to talk about wrestling, but we're going to do it in classy attire.
While pretending to be each other.
Yes, exactly. For those who can't tell, based on our voices.
Because we figured by now, we have such a loyal fan base that they can definitely tell when we're trying to screw with you.
There's no way that you didn't see right through our facade.
We're regular Weasley twins.
I think you said Weasley.
Maybe.
All right. On to wrestling. So, it was a pretty fun-filled week, I guess.
Sure.
Full of mayhem and...
Yeah, like, there was some
antics.
Antics and some shenanigans. And...
I would like to, if it's all right with you, I would like to start with our latest updates to The Undertaker.
The Undertaker?
And friends that happened, because this week, let's see, HBK came back.
Woo! Which is always good.
Always good. Shame he can't actually fight in the ring, because he promised Undertaker.
No, one day. I don't buy it. He'll be back at least for one more match.
Okay, were you not hoping in the back of your mind that this whole thing would end in a if you won't fight him, I will moment?
Kind of, but yeah. I can conspiracy talk later, but yeah, let's go ahead and get to the brass tacks.
Yes, basically what happens is HBK comes back and says, clearly this match is going to happen in WrestleMania. You've just been basically trolling everyone for a week, so let's fess up. It's going to be Triple H, Undertaker, WrestleMania. Triple H comes out and goes, no, it's not.
And Shawn Michaels was pretty much just like, cool story, bro.
Yeah. They made some angry faces at each other.
Mm-hmm.
Triple H is really sticking with this thing about, you know, he won't beat him, but he's kind of adding in this, now he's a corporate man. And
which is what I originally wanted him to do anyway, because I feel like that would be a better reason, you know. New turn to the character, which they alluded to last night. Like, you know, that's what Shawn Michaels was trying to get in. It's like, oh, you're a corporate suit now.
I like the idea of that, but I'm not liking this execution.
No, and see, I think it would have been much better if he just came up front from the beginning like that.
Well, the thing is, now, the way they've set it up is that he won't wrestle Undertaker because he can't risk beating Undertaker. Because Undertaker's too good for the company to...
Because, and he quotes, sorry for sounding like Michael Cole, that... He is too invested into the future of the company,
The Undertaker is.
Yeah, exactly. He's invested in a, 40-something-year-old guy who's been around forever, can hardly move but once a year, and he's, you know, 1 foot out the door at any moment.
Yeah.
So...
Who we won't see till next WrestleMania.
Exactly. I don't know. I think exactly the future counts towards The Undertaker.
Right. And the thing is, we all pretty much know that this match is going to happen, so I don't know what they're trying to put out there that'll be, you know, what's going to happen that eventually lets Triple H go, yeah, all right, I'll do this.
I think, I want to think that they're looking at a big picture here. They're trying to use this, one, they're trying to... set up more of an animosity with HBK involving the two of them. You know, HBK...
So you think HBK's come back for more? Like, storyline at least, if not?
If he is, he would have to do it soon.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, sure, HBK, when he left, he was still on top of his game, but we don't know exactly how long that would last. You know, even talking last night, he looked a little winded, and his voice was giving out. You know, so you can already tell that he's not used to that anymore.
I mean, he's been out of the ring for a while.
Yeah. So, how awesome would it be that at some point before Shawn Michaels retired, they planned this all out?
I mean, I would slow clap
everything
about that.
Definitely. That eventually it would lead to, I don't know, maybe a triple threat match with Michaels, Triple H, and Undertaker.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, that would be taking some of the spotlight off of The Undertaker, which I'm assuming if this year isn't his last, which I don't think it is, I would think next year more than likely would be his last.
Yeah.
There, it can be said that he might be, you know, they might stretch it out until WrestleMania 30 just to make an even number.
Yeah, because that is 29, then 30.
Yeah.
So.
But, of course, this year is 20. So that's also another even number.
Right. I don't know. You know, I think it all depends on how much Undertaker can take. He's had a solid year of rest and relaxation. You know. So he
should be pretty sharp.
Yeah. And then if they give him one match and then another year.
But again, that also depends on what he's been doing this whole year, which we don't know what he's been up to. If he's just been chilling and not really doing anything, which I don't suspect,
I guess, yeah, he still has to do the occasional push-up to
try
and be somewhat in-ring shape.
But I don't know exactly how much in-ring training he's had over the past year to keep kind of, you know, from the cobwebs
building up. Well, I don't know.
But I mean, you know, apparently there's like some top-secret gym that people can work out at. So that's what happened with The Rock. He just, you know, went at like 2, 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
And was training. And I mean, the only reason we knew that is because he posted pictures on his Twitter, and I'm pretty sure he was beating up Tough Enough Kid. It looked like it. I don't know.
I mean, you know, surprise people come back all the time.
Yeah.
And don't show much ring rust, so you got to assume that there's...
Although... I don't know if it's just me, and I might be in the minority of thinking this. Jericho looked pretty rusty last night. He missed some obvious spots with Kofi. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know if that's. I mean, he still looks like he's in great shape.
To be fair, that wasn't his, you know, first night back. He had a great Rumble performance. He might just not have been going at 100% because it was. You know,
in San Diego, in that crap city,
because it was 6 days before a pay per view.
Yeah, I like my reason better.
Because you hate San Diego.
I've never been to San Diego. I've never even been on the West Coast, but I just assume that it's a crap city. I'm assuming every California city is a crap city.
You don't think San Diego would embrace the Jericho jacket?
Well, I didn't. They didn't get a huge response, so maybe not.
Yeah, what up with that, San Diego?
San Diego didn't really give us much response at all.
They didn't.
Nothing.
Although they did get pretty passionate about We All Hate You towards the end.
True.
Which is a pretty intricate little chant.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that. You're right.
Yeah. So. A few more things to... Talk about Undertaker cut his hair off, so that's how they're getting around.
That explains that
the wig. I'm curious to see how much hair he'll have.
And I don't know the photos that they've had. You know, he doesn't have much.
Yeah,
because photos he looked a lot like Walter White from Breaking Bad.
He did, and because
so maybe that's what he's been doing.
He's wearing the hat and everything.
That's how he's, you know, kept in shape. He is now a crack. He's
been on the run from the Popa.
He deals crystal meth. He is a genius.
Exactly. That's what you do on your off time.
Allegedly. Just so his lawyers don't come after our lawyers, who hasn't even gotten in.
Who hasn't even started law school. Who are all in school now.
Who hasn't even started law school yet. But he got accepted, so good on you, buddy.
But... Yeah, the question now for me is just, what is Undertaker going to do to get Triple H in the ring? Because right now, it kind of feels like if that happens, Triple H has all but said he wants Undertaker to win at WrestleMania. And we're all expecting that to happen, because we're not going to break the streak now. So it kind of feels like, you know, when it wins, like, oh, Triple H threw the match for the company. Yes, Chris.
I have an idea that just hit me. What seems to be the one thing, the one touchy subject, that if anyone touches on with Triple H, he snaps?
Stephanie McMahon?
Exactly. Who did Shawn Michaels bring up last night that just seemed to push Triple H over the edge.
And who has Undertaker already kidnapped once before for ritual sacrifice?
And tried to marry her.
So,
in a very unholy union-esque kind of thing. So, there's a history.
No Austin to stop him this time.
No Austin, well, I mean...
I guess Austin come
back. Austin's still definitely good comeback.
I don't know what he's doing right now, but...
I don't know what he's doing either. I don't know.
So...
I mean, I'm pretty sure I'll be on hand at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just think that something involving her and Undertaker be like, okay, you know, nothing else worked, so maybe this will get your attention kind of thing.
Yeah. I did notice that Shawn Michaels did make a specific mention of Stephanie McMahon.
Or so. That girl.
Well, yes.
But we all know who that girl
is. We all know who you're talking about.
I love the moments where WWE tries to hide from real life. So. You know, but we already all know.
Yep.
Just like when, you know, people had signs right after their wedding of, you know, congratulations, Michelle
McTaker.
And they took the signs. I was like, come on. It's lighthearted.
We all know what's going on.
We all know what's going on.
So.
And she still hasn't come back, so I don't know how I feel about this.
you feel gypped?
Kind of, but then again, I would probably only want Michelle McCool back if Layla was...
What happened to Layla?
I think she just had that major surgery.
She must have, like, got an arm cut off or something. Because...
Maybe she did. I don't know. Nobody's seen, like, anything of her lately.
I know, it's...
For a while.
They're pushing Tamina. They need some top-ring diva action to come back.
Tamina is just... keep Beth Phoenix occupied until Karma can come back full time.
I mean, yeah, she can.
Which I'm assuming Karma will come back before WrestleMania. Yeah, I think if anything, but see the thing is though, they like having like mass diva matches at WrestleMania so they can all get FaceTime. But the downside of that is there's never really been a meaningful divas match. At WrestleMania in a while. And this, I mean, maybe...
I mean, this past year it was kind of lumped in with the celebrity match.
Womp womp, yes.
So.
Speaking of, I think it's funny that during the debate, which I know we'll touch on more in a second, Miz made a point of saying, like, you know, I was the main event. So I was the reason why WrestleMania 27 was... Or 28. Whichever...
Yeah, 27 was last year.
Wow, was the reason why WrestleMania 27 was such a colossal hit. And I'm like, really? Colossal hit?
27?
I would definitely say that 27 was probably the worst of the 20s.
So far. It's like, I won't say it's the worst WrestleMania.
But it's definitely in the bottom half.
But it's,
maybe even in the bottom third.
Yeah.
Just saying.
It was kind of a letdown.
When non-wrestling segments... very much outweigh the wrestling segments, that's a bad WrestleMania.
It was very much like a bragging rights of Night of Champions.
When you have Hornswoggle rapping, it's a bad WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is. When the best thing of the night is The Rock and Stone Cold look at each other for a little bit, then...
I don't know. I think pretty much the favorite thing for me was... the set design.
Best part was, to be fair, was the Miz's video promo.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the best video things they've ever done.
I really thought at that point, it's like, okay, this is the defining moment in Miz's career. Like, after this, he's going to be huge.
I know, right?
And what did he do? He feuded with Alex Riley and kind of fizzled off. And
I honestly think the terrible ending to WrestleMania hurt Miz.
I think his fame got caught up in the lights, and he just failed to catch it.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what happened. Exactly.
Womp womp, Miz can't catch.
So, moving on. Let's talk about Cena and Eve and
you mean
Zachary Ryder.
Eve.
Because... that was odd.
And...
Chris, you want to take us through the play-by-play?
Okay. So, Zack Ryder shows up wheelchair and back brace with flowers. And John Cena's like, WTF, mate. And Zack Ryder was just like, dude, I love her, brah. I need her. I need her in my life. And John Cena's like, okay, whatever, dude. GTFO. You know, go to higher ground, get away from here, and, you know, and just make sure Kane's not around. And okay, fine, if you're going to stay, then stay in here in this room, because that's worked out so well for you in the past.
Yeah, because doors are...
doors are so Kane-proof.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ryder kind of chills there for a while, and then he gets some advice from Santino, Valentino.
Yeah, you know, some waste comedy time, whatever.
I don't know if it's such a waste, because apparently Santino's camera time is...
about to get real big.
It's apparently paying off.
More on that in a moment.
And, we get to, the main event, which is, Punk and Miz. And, that ends. Then we get some screams. No, wait, no.
These happened before.
Yeah, then. You're right. It happened before the main event. My B. And so, we hear screams while Zack Ryder... I got it now. John Cena's having an interview with Josh Matthews.
Yeah, about The Rock.
And then we hear screams, and then, of course, we cut to way too early of...
yeah.
Eve willfully, under her own power, getting into the ambulance and sitting down just peacefully as if it's just something to do. And Kane shuts the ambulance door, and John Cena's like, oh no, it's locked. You gotta open it up. And Eve, of course, doesn't do that because, you know, that would make too much sense.
Yeah.
And then Kane gets in the ambulance, and then at the last minute, she hops out and into John Cena's arms, and she annihilates his throat with her tongue. She goes up. She gets all of it uncomfortably close, just how I'm getting uncomfortably close to the computer. And la 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 la, just like that.
That's pretty accurate. She later said it was a heat of the moment, but I was like, that was a very long, very open mouth kiss to be heat of the moment.
And so we pan over and... The best shot of the night is Zack Ryder sitting in his wheelchair along with crutches and flowers, arms spread out like WTF, mate. And then we get the main event, and then John Cena comes out and be like, hey, you know,
I feel bad.
I'm sorry I'm such a pimp. I'm sorry that yo girls want to be all up on this. And then...
Ryder yells at him,
and then Kane comes out and launches Zack Ryder off the stage on the wheelchair, and his legs went all ragdollish.
Yeah.
Then John Cena gets all super serious and throws up the axes, which... I don't know. Maybe I just don't pay attention, but I really don't even know what that means.
I don't know
if it's supposed to like mean, like, you know, he's legit hurt, but he, you know, grabs a trainer, and yet again we see Zack Ryder in a stretcher. So, I mean, I don't know. That was pretty much what happened.
I'm kind of wondering if he's legit hurt. Because
they haven't said anything.
Like, it wasn't a big deal, but the X's were a little weird, and the running to get a trainer from the ringside...
But then again, how overdramatic can Cena be?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
We haven't heard that he's seriously injured, and that
and I feel like
seems
that
like something they'd be pushing online.
Exactly. They would have said something.
Although, Mick Foley tweeted after this that he thought that looked dangerous and like was concerned about him. I'm like, if Mick Foley says that it looks like you hurt yourself...
Of all people, yeah. You should know what hurts.
Might need to take a step back and reevaluate.
I'm pretty sure that Mick Foley is the expert on ouchies.
Yes.
And
he's our official ouchie expert.
The doctor of ouchies. But what I do love is that Eve came running out and immediately got so many boobs.
I know, right?
I was like, she's going to be like... I know we make fun of Kelly Kelly for being John Cena. But Eve got like Cena-esque boobs out there. Like, it was fantastic.
Is Eve going to be a heel now?
I don't know. She like, might as well be.
But here's the thing is they had a little moment where she basically solidly friend zones Zack Ryder here.
And of course the crowd's like, oh, and no.
I gotta say, like, I think the WWE audience might be kind of...
too close to home.
Yeah. a good chunk of them might know what being friend zoned and feels like.
Joel, how long has your life been spent in friend zones?
Oh, never. Are you kidding me?
I hate you.
daily happiness for me.
Well, up until this current relationship that I'm in, I've spent the majority of my teen college years in the freaking friend zone.
I'm so, again, aware of the friend zone, and yeah, so...
But see, here's the thing. Here's... I would have liked the moment, you know, that Cena got tongue-raped. I would have liked someone to have brought up John Cena's real-life wife, who has been acknowledged on WWE television before.
See, I can't remember, like...
CM Punk has, like... It was a promo over the last summer, and it was the one in Boston, and CM Punk was arguing. He's like, you know what? I'm glad that your father and your wife is sitting here at ringside, and Cena was like, easy, easy. You know, I remember that moment.
Yeah.
So I was like, they have recognized that he is married, and John Cena didn't exactly pull away. He kind of, you know, leaned into the tongue lashing.
I mean, I can overlook them having mentioned Cena's married because, you know, WWE is not, like, on top of the continuity. And
if there was something going on between Zack Ryder and Cena, that would have been a perfect talking point for Zack Ryder to bring up.
Yeah.
You know? Just to add more hatred towards Cena.
Yeah. I mean, it's a thing where, I don't know if they're gonna continue with this. Like, if Eve's gonna start pursuing Cena, or if, you know... if they're going to acknowledge it beyond just this past week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm hoping for... like, we're all hoping that this whole John Cena and Kane thing ends
this Sunday. It has to end soon.
Yeah.
I mean, because Rock's scheduled this month.
Rock's scheduled the night after, I believe.
Really?
If I'm not mistaken. As far as I understand, Rock is scheduled the day after... Elimination Chamber.
I thought it was 1 week from then, but...
oh. I could be wrong. I don't know.
But either way,
but like, I do know, I believe The Undertaker is going to be there, at least.
Yeah, so... It's a thing. The thing is, like, what's the last successful girlfriend storyline to happen on WWE television? Like, Gail Kim and Daniel Bryan kind of petered out into nothing. No real resolution.
You want the harsh truth?
I don't want the harsh truth because I think it might have a hand in it.
It's not a puppet.
I'm thinking about sexual chocolate, man.
I love how my first thought was puppet.
No.
Did someone have a
when the Muppets were on?
What was Piggy doing?
No.
Whose hand was in Piggy?
What was it? Was there... do you remember a successful... just not even successful, but like a successful storyline that involved a relationship?
Well, I mean, you said successful, so that automatically counts out Ted DiBiase and Maurice.
That petered into nothing. They kind of broke up towards the end.
With all of Vicky Guerrero's relationships.
Well, see,
hers with Edge lasted
for hers a while. With Edge, that did.
And that,
that ended,
and
that ended early 2009.
That ended with them still in the limelight, but having issues against each other. Now, her and Ziggler kind of faded
that
whenever
they faded
were romantically involved.
Yeah, now they're just business partners.
And then that other guy that she tried to debut, and no one cared. No one gave a crap about that dude. I forgot. It was... he was just, you know, a stereotypical Hispanic guy number 12.
Yeah. The Bella Twins were all about Del Rio for eight minutes.
Yeah.
You remember that they won the mistletoe match? And they were going to get a kiss from whoever they wanted, and they never cashed in. And it expired at Christmas, so...
That was the stipulation?
Yeah. Wasted opportunity.
Wasted opportunity.
So, I mean, and right now we have the AJ thing going on. Wonder how that's going. I don't know.
Depends. Well, I mean, that all depends on how much longer they want to have Daniel Bryan in the limelight.
Yeah.
Which I can't imagine it's going to be much longer.
Well, he's running out of people to fight.
He is.
So.
He sure is.
So, yeah, I don't know what's going to become of this Eve storyline if she's going to decide she wanted to pursue John Cena all along. Although she was yelling at him like 2 weeks ago.
She sure was.
I'm going to guess this was a rather new development in the writer's room, if I were to venture a guess.
I can imagine Vince in the creative meeting, and he's like, you know what we haven't had in a while? Infidelity. Let's throw that in there. No one's done it quite right since I did it. Over and over and over again. And Linda's in the corner like, yes. Just gives him a nod. It's like, absolutely. Let's do that again.
In the corner of the ring. And a
quietly. Being seen and not heard.
He thinks they're going to put Zack Ryder in the corner of the ring for Elimination Chamber.
Just so he can get up and kick John Cena in the nuts. Perfect. Perfect.
They say every 7 years they can redo storylines. So, there we go.
Wait, how long is Katie Vick?
I don't know. It's a doomsday clock, sir.
I think it's past two. It's at least 2002.
Mm.
At least.
So.
Oh dear God.
Well, I gotta say, yeah.
I think it's like a.
So Kane comes on the screen during all this, and he says to John, he's like, "Wow, that was really low, John. I've done some terrible things, but stealing a girl from your friend."
And that is like the ultimate like evil genius move. He's like, "Wow. You went past something I would do." Yes.
I'm like, let's make a quick list of all the things Kane has done. All the people he's set on fire.
And just being... I know he really didn't do anything in the Katie Vick storyline, but just being involved in that monstrosity.
Although, didn't he do something to Leda?
Oh, she was quote-unquote pregnant. And
yeah.
He tombstoned her or something like that, and, you know, she, had a miscarriage because of it.
Yeah.
That was pretty freaking terrible. If only she actually gave birth to the baby, and then he could have punted it.
Punted it like
Snitsky.
Oh.
That was a very high punt. That was terrible. It only went like two rows deep.
Yeah. That's what you need to take for now from this.
Yep, that's why Snitsky didn't last long. That's why he didn't have an NFL career. He was a terrible punter.
Couldn't punt.
Nope.
So.
Where were we?
Let's move on to the debate.
Alright.
First of all, this sounds like a terrible idea. Like, when I opened up on this, I was about to cry.
Especially the fact that King was hosting.
Yeah.
Because I just knew we were just going to get, you know, corny quip after corny quip. Like, it's like, okay, we get it. There's politicians doing the same thing right now. Hooray! Now let's can we please go to actual wrestling type stuff? But
I gotta say,
yeah,
that because they happen to have some of the best talkers out there,
and that was the only way they could have gotten away with it. Now I know they did try something, and it was only two people. And I remember, I don't know if this is the last time they did something like this, but basically they had almost like a debate. Back, and it was John Cena versus Bobby Lashley. And Bobby Lashley is no talker. And it was the most awkward segment. And, I mean, they went on, and I think they had a match at Great American Bash, and it was a fantastic match.
Yeah.
But that moment, it was like the Monday before, like the go-home episode. And it was just like, okay. It was two faces basically going off against each other. And it was, like, them, like, trying not to disrespect each other, but still being like, I'm going to win. And Bobby Lashley's like, I don't know how to talk.
This one worked out, like, it worked a million times better yeah. than it ever should have.
And it was
have.
All about who they had on there.
Yeah. I think this is the first time I've really enjoyed Face R Truth with his
yeah.
with his box of spiders.
And just going on about how he's wanting to be elected
yeah.
or something.
He's telling people to vote for him. First thing he do as elected is great.
So everyone, when you go to the polls this November, write in Ron Killings. I'm assuming you have to use his real name.
I don't think so. I think you
okay,
should write
just
in
put in
R-Truth. R-Truth. And then what's up?
And so well, wait, make sure you put Little Jimmy. You want to have the full card.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Little Jimmy is Vice.
The full ticket.
So, but, yeah. Basically, the whole setup of the night was we were filled with preview Elimination Chamber matches.
And how off was Miz? Like, something's just off about him lately.
I'm a little concerned about Miz, because, like, this time last year, Miz was...
on top of his game.
Like, he was my favorite to carry the company into the future.
Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, this was before Punk blew up, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's just not doing anything. Like,
I don't know. I'm concerned.
Like, at least over the summer, he had him and Truth, and I like them a lot better together.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they had to get away from that because of the suspension and everything. But it just seemed like ever since, just been...
A side note on the suspension, I don't know if this was the first week it happened, but it was the first week I noticed. Evan Bourne is not in the opening intro video. And he's been there for like 2 years.
But you know who is in the opening video? Brodus Clay.
Really?
I noticed that. I rewatched a little bit of Raw today, and I noticed that Brodus Clay is in the opening.
Really? I wonder if that means he'll be on television. Does it mean he'll be on television?
Nope.
No. Brodus Clay, the Funkasaurus gimmick, has been put on hold.
Why is that, Joel?
Because Vince McMahon feels that he is not ring ready.
You mean he's not ready to be in the ring for a whole 30 seconds?
He's not ready for a 4-minute dance intro and then a 30-second match, which is all that they've given him.
Shewa.
And I don't know what they're looking for here.
Yeah.
Because they don't seem to get it, and it's, you know...
They built a guy to be dominant for like an entire month and gave him a match on every show.
Yeah.
For weeks, and...
The thing is, even before then, like, they debuted him as Del Rio's... Beyond just being NXT and being kind of this, like, big ensemble guy in NXT, he was then...
Like, if he's...
Del Rio's... He was in Del Rio's corner to the point of he was on WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You know, he was in Del Rio's corner, but he was as much on WrestleMania as Christian was on WrestleMania. And then he kind of disappears... He gets major video package pushing for a month, 2 months.
Yeah.
And so, and then he comes out, then they stop that mysteriously for no reason. He's been pushed back week after week after week after week. And then he finally comes out with this ridiculous, unexpected gimmick that's against all odds amazing.
Yep.
And
it worked.
Yeah. And now they've stopped that.
You know what needs to happen?
Someone needs to call his mama.
Someone needs to call his mama.
So it's...
God knows it's... There's some atrocity going on.
Oh, man.
I know it's pointless to argue logic with WWE because they're just going to stick their fingers in their ear and just make some kind of noise so they can't hear you. But, I mean, like what you're saying, like, I don't know what else they're looking for.
Yeah.
It seems like everything that they wanted from him, the reaction, the putting, just looking dominant in the ring, he's done fantastically, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. There's...
And I mean, how much ring ability does a big guy really need? I mean, case in point, Big Show. The dude has about as much ability as just a rock.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know, and Big Show's still their best giant, like... You want to go Mark Henry?
Right now, I would go Mark Henry. Now,
I could argue Mark Henry.
A year ago, I would have said Big Show, and, you know, I would have said it begrudgingly. But now, I'm like, you know, Mark Henry, at least, it seems like he puts a lot more effort into it, and Big Show was gassed, like, 30 seconds into the match.
Yeah. But
I mean, I'm not saying Mark Henry's no spring chicken after that, but come on.
Oh, Mark Henry's sweating. He must be thinking again.
The guy sweats.
Oh, God. Oh man.
He sweats because he's sweating.
Pretty much. But then you get guys like Khali, and you're like, that guy's ring ready? What? You know.
He stands there and walks around gingerly on his glass knees, just chopping people. Like, I hit you on the head.
Kind of moans a little. He doesn't do highly skilled dance moves.
Wraps his hands around your head and the end.
Yeah. So, I don't know what to say about this. Like, this...
If they want a convincing big man in the company right now, Brodus Clay is their option.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like, I don't know what they're not seeing, what they were looking for. Unless they're wanting him
to slim down some more, because I do know he's slimmed down quite a bit since NXT. Like, he's lost a pretty good amount of weight.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if they're wanting him to be more muscly or what, but... It's one of those things where you just give up. I'm like, okay, we don't know what you want now.
Yeah. So, I hope they do. I hope this isn't the end to him.
And I didn't, yeah, because they took a chance, and everyone seems to like it.
Yeah.
And then they just scrap it. That would just be... That would be worse than anything.
Yeah. However, speaking of Big Show, I think now would be a good time to mention that Big Show and Randy Orton had a match on Raw. Which led to the biggest fail of an RKO that I think I've ever seen.
He just fell.
Yeah.
He flopped. Let's put it that way. He flopped.
But...
He flopped.
I mean, but the thing is, this...
Where would you rate this? Would you rate this above or below Kevin Nash's failing of taking a pedigree?
I don't know.
Because that was a pretty bad one.
Yeah.
Because all he had to do was just... Fall when Triple H moved.
I gotta say pedigree was worse because it was on a pay-per-view and it was like supposed to end his career.
Yeah.
So.
Which could be kind of a metaphor for his career.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yep.
But the thing with Randy is, it seems that Randy hurt himself on Monday, leading to Randy not being in the Elimination Chamber this week.
What? Say this is so, Joel. Who would be able to take his place at such a short moment's notice?
Let us scour the lineup on SmackDown.
Drew McIntyre.
No. The Chosen One? How would we put the Chosen One in a match?
Sheamus.
Sheamus. Oh, what a reasonable thought. And, like, you can go ahead and start putting him in a main event. No.
Tyler Rex.
I mean... Well, that's absurd, but, you know, why not? That could be, but no.
Either one of the Usos.
Well, you're getting farther down the list of reasonableness. I can understand that. Keep climbing down. Keep descending.
Epico with Hornswoggle on his shoulders.
I mean, that's, you know, go ahead and get to, like, the third sub-basement of the barrel that we're scraping the bottom of.
The popping peck of love.
The broom that won't sell the Triple H.
Oh, just tell him
it's Santino. It's
that noise you hear is the collective sigh of all of our dreams dying.
It's what?
It's Santino. That means, people, think about this. We get an Elimination Chamber match. We have the distinguished pleasure of getting an Elimination Chamber match, or Elimination Chamber, as R-Truth likes to call it, where two of the participants, two of the six, a third of the participants, is the great Khali. Womp womp. And Santino in the same match together. My only hope is that they will be they will be the first ones entered into the actual competition and just destroy each other right then and there. And so, you know, the real people, you know, the big boys can actually go, you know, like, you know, just pushing the kids away and be like, okay, grown folks are talking.
Have some kind of half a decent match. You said.
So who are the participants?
It's
those two, Daniel Bryan,
Big Show,
Cody.
Yeah, Cody.
Who's number six?
I don't remember.
How freaking forgetful is I don't this know. Match? Like how?
I just like that's the thing is like I'm so uninvested in this match, and
that really kind of pisses me off. Like who's that last person?
I don't know.
Wade Barrett.
Is it Wade Barrett?
Wade Barrett.
I'll take your word for it. Like, that doesn't actually ring a bell, but that,
yeah,
I think that speaks volumes about like the state of SmackDown.
Oh yeah,
and it doesn't need to be this way, but
I would have been okay with like a Justin Gabriel or Heath Slater. Ezekiel Jackson is on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Ezekiel Jackson. He has hair now. Dear God. If it was just a throwaway spot that was just going to end up being eliminated anyways, why don't you put in a guy who could actually make the match interesting instead of putting in a joke character?
Give one of these mid-cards a moment to shine.
There you go.
And, I mean, you're clearly lacking in your main event department at this point.
We've had this storyline for, like, the past month and a half of Drew McIntyre desperately trying to save his job. What's the best thing to do than put him in the Elimination Chamber
Give him
match?
An amazing... He doesn't have to win, but
let's be
an
honest,
amazing showing.
The last time Drew McIntyre has even been on a pay-per-view was the Elimination Chamber last year. Why not take a chance, you know?
That's the thing, is like, the only way you're going to have new main event guys is to give your mid-carders a shining chance just wow the audience.
Yep.
And this is it. You have this throwaway slot in a chamber match that, you know he's going to lose, and just one amazing, memorable spot.
Yep.
And it's SmackDown. SmackDown.
Now, if this is, like, the storyline that's going to lead to, like, Teddy Long getting fired for making a decision like that, because we had that whole situation where Otunga was like, Laurinaitis, you could become the permanent general manager of Raw, and I have a plan where you could also be the permanent general manager of SmackDown as well. If this is, like, leading up to that, then by golly, just...
Then I take it all back.
Take it all back and be like, okay, it's a genius plan, Teddy Long, get out of here, because I'm tired of watching freaking tag matches.
But... Until then,
I really think it's going to come down to like some sort of like sexual harassment scandal with Oksana. How angry are you that that's probably the case? Because I hate myself for even trying for just the possibility of being right about that.
I'm so sick of Oksana. Like, no, everything about SmackDown.
It would be better.
Is disappointing to me right
it
now.
It would be better if her whole like saxophone music was "Careless Whisper" by George Michael.
Yeah.
Then I'll be like, you know what? This girl is pretty cool. You know what? I don't blame you, Teddy Long. This chick likes George Michael.
I saw an Oksana match once on FCW.
Well, no, she's been on SmackDown. She's actually like been in wrestling matches.
Yeah, but she's been on wrestling matches. Like this was like a 15-minute Divas match with Oksana.
How was that?
Not terrible.
So she has some kind
like,
of...
Well, the thing is...
She has some ability.
Yeah, the thing is, for the most part, these divas do have the ability to carry a decent 10 to 15 minute match. Just WWE doesn't care, and they're like, you have 30 seconds to get a pin in this match so we can get back to other storylines.
Is she better or worse than either one of the Bellas?
I don't know. I've never seen the Bellas actually wrestle.
Fair enough. So basically,
she can't arm candy like the Bellas can.
But she can, you know, walk on cue.
Yeah.
Whenever she hears a saxophone.
So, I don't know. I'm so disappointed in SmackDown. And here's the thing. You know, a while back, I was a big, big supporter of the idea of ending the brand split.
Which they've...
And, you know, yeah, I was like, yeah. they're starting to do it so much anyway, especially when Del Rio was still on SmackDown and making weekly appearances on Raw. I was just saying, this, you know, this teasing is pointless in the brand split.
And what did we talk about last week? Last week on Raw, we didn't even get a Raw wrestler in the ring in a match until an hour and a half into the show with the Divas match. Yeah. Up until then, we got nothing but exclusively SmackDown storylines and wrestlers, stuff that had nothing to do with any Raw character.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they might as well just forget the facade and just go ahead and say that everyone's on it can be on either show, because quite honestly, if they hold some Raw talent on SmackDown.
Yeah, but if this is going to be the result that you just take everything good on SmackDown and put it on Raw and then leave SmackDown to be this sad leftover scrap of a show, then yeah, maybe you do need the brand split so you can make sure that a couple of your good wrestlers stay on SmackDown sometimes.
Yep. I mean, because wasn't that the attempt whenever they put Orton over there?
Yeah.
What's happened?
Well, Orton got a boo-boo.
But to be honest with you, everyone's kind of getting annoyed with Orton because Orton's becoming Cena on SmackDown.
Yeah. You don't have any backup. You need minimum two face top wrestlers.
And they have Sheamus.
Yeah.
And Sheamus, I think, is perfectly capable of at least being a number two face. At least. At the very least. Because he, like, the audience really has gotten behind Sheamus the past few months. So, why not? But
no.
Sheamus has gotten, like, 30-second spots since he won the Rumble.
Yeah.
You barely see him.
So.
Which is funny, because he doesn't have a match for Elimination Chamber. No. But yet he's on the cover.
Yeah.
Or he's on the poster for the chamber.
Turning into a Power Ranger. The way that he's holding his little emblem.
Oh, okay.
That's totally the Morphin Time hold. I recognize it.
Who would?
So, but yeah, SmackDown, come on. Get it together.
Yeah, I mean,
you're turning into superstars.
Oh, no. Worse. It's turning into ECW. The last 6 months of ECW.
Yeah, it's because everything good is now going to Raw.
Yep.
When you don't, when you have to have that balance if you want to make SmackDown as legitimate.
I mean, think about it.
And I
realized they had so much stuff on Raw last week that they cut John Cena.
Yeah.
John Cena was supposed to have the main event match or something like that or whatever, but they moved it to a dark match because they just ran out of time.
Right.
How, like, that speaks volumes of the material they've got, and two, like, the willingness they are with putting all this stuff on Raw.
Yeah.
That they will cut their guy off of TV, and that hasn't happened since I don't know when.
I mean, it might also be worth noting that, you know, Undertaker is a SmackDown wrestler.
He's still on the opening video.
He's in the opening video four times.
Yep.
Four times in the opening video.
But when was the last time he's been on SmackDown?
Was he on at all promoting WrestleMania last year?
WrestleMania, no. He was on there with his feud with Kane.
Feud with Kane.
That was it.
Like last?
I think that was the last.
October before last.
Yep.
The last time Undertaker has been on SmackDown.
Yep.
That's ridiculous.
Just a bit.
Alright. I'm bummed out. I gotta move back to happy note.
So happy note.
Here's my happy antidote.
Better sing
for this week. I don't know if you watched the Grammys at all.
Nope.
I understand if you didn't. You might notice, you might be aware that Jennifer Hudson is a singer.
Yes.
So she was at the Grammys.
Yes.
I don't know if you know this, but she's married to a certain Mr. David Otunga.
What?
Yeah.
You don't say.
David Otunga was at the Grammys.
Yes.
In a bow tie.
Yes.
And coffee cup.
Yeah,
that man is living his gimmick. I'm so proud of him.
You're Are you for real?
I'm so for real.
He actually showed up to the Grammys with his freaking coffee cup.
Yeah.
Oh my god. That is just dedication.
I'm so proud of this
that
guy.
That is like Kane, like, showing up, like, maybe, let's say his girlfriend or his wife.
Yeah.
Is nominated for a Grammy. He shows up with the mask.
In the mask, yeah.
Jeez.
I gotta say, like,
Sin Cara doesn't even, like, he doesn't even, like, drive to and from events in the mask. Once he's there, he doesn't have his mask on. He doesn't put his mask on until he's in the arena. But that dude goes around with this freaking, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's a lot more, I think, conspicuous, but
yeah, still. Like, I'm sure it was a public appearance, and, you know, so, and, you know, a bow tie is a lot less than a mask or anything, but. Right.
The coffee cup, though, that just throws it over the rail, like.
Like, it's. Huh. I honestly, like, I never thought I'd say this, but I might be of the original Nexus. Otunga might be my favorite right now. Like, this. Especially character-wise. Like, probably not in-ring-wise. I'm still going to give that to Barrett. But character-wise, like, this Dave the Wrestling Lawyer thing is working so well.
And at least until, what's-his-face comes back.
Who?
Bald dude. Big bald dude. I can't think of his name now. Skip Sheffield.
Skip Sheffield.
He was pretty awesome.
God, when is Skip Sheffield coming back?
I don't know. They've been waiting a long time to package this dude.
I know. You remember when he was supposed to, like, make a surprise return at, like, SummerSlam?
Yep.
Golly.
They're at the point where they're risking people just completely forgetting who he is.
Yeah.
Which maybe is what they're doing, because apparently they're
renaming him.
Yeah, so maybe that's their plan. It's like, no one remembers the guy.
That's a shame.
Same thing, I guess, okay. Same thing whenever they put Luke Gallows out there, everyone had forgotten that he was Jesse. Even at a run, he was like, hi, I was Jesse at one point.
Remember me? Remember me?
And I still love when that same, like, straight edge society gimmick, with Joey Mercury, he was the masked guy that was, like, attacking people, and they unmask him. The only person who knew it was Joey Mercury right off the bat was Michael Cole, you know, because that's probably only because someone gave him a cue card.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's Joey Mercury, and everyone's like, who? I mean, we all knew before then because, you know, it had already been leaked.
Right.
But a lot of us was like, oh, who cares?
Got a Wikipedia that.
Yeah, like, the only significance that he's ever played into the company is that he's got his face ripped off by a ladder.
You know what?
What?
You know what would help SmackDown? Some Skip Sheffield. And some Husky Harris.
You know what really helps SmackDown?
What?
Chris Masters!
And John Morrison?
No. I threw my squishy dice at the computer. So if you heard a thump, that's what that was.
The first time on my computer.
Freaking Chris Masters, he doesn't have to be a main guy. Just put him on the freaking show. God.
I will
even accept some freaking Yoshitatsu.
Yeah, Yoshitatsu.
Let's go with that. Freaking Yoshi.
You're paying him anyway. You might as well put him on your show.
Might as well. So, do you even want to delve into the massive possible brain aneurysm that would be guessing or making predictions for the Elimination Chamber?
Sure, alright.
What matches are there?
I think just the three. Just the two chambers and. And the Divas one. Okay, Tamina and Beth.
This would be quick.
Flip a coin, Divas and Beth. I'm gonna go Beth.
Beth.
The end. Ambulance match.
Cena.
Has to be Cena.
Has to be.
This feud has to end.
The last pay-per-view before the biggest match
ever. Yeah, you can't bury him under Kane and then say, oh, but he has a legit chance against The Rock. Nope, not going to happen. Cena beyond question.
Mm-hmm. Heavyweight championship? Elimination chamber?
Santino?
Flip a six-sided coin?
Pretty much. I'm tempted to say Daniel Bryan, I guess.
Yeah, like, I don't, because, I mean, we're assuming whoever wins this is who Sheamus is going to go against, and they're not going to do a face-against-face. Yeah, but, see, the thing is, the drawback for me on that is, I don't know if WWE is willing to have Sheamus and Daniel Bryan be a championship match at WrestleMania? Like,
I don't know. They might open the WrestleMania with it. It might,
but even then, they had Edge.
Yeah.
And that was a big name for it, so there you go. I mean, that was kind of the saving grace for that in their eyes. I mean, I would be fine with Daniel Bryan and Sheamus. Especially because, you know, they had a U.S. Championship match last year that got bumped into a dark match.
Yeah.
From WrestleMania.
And to go from that to change a match, that'd be pretty cool.
You know what? I'm going to stick with that, too.
That's what I'm going to go with. All right. Just because, yeah, I have nothing else to suggest that.
WWE Championship.
And WWE Championship. The thing is, we know it's, you know...
We know CM Punk is going to go up against Chris Jericho.
Right.
And Chris Jericho can probably do, you know, every week for at least a little while.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's much more feasible for that to be a WWE Championship match rather than, you know, 6 months ago or what, however long, we were thinking that Cena and Rock would be
for the championship match. So. I'm going to say Jericho just because if Punk wins, that's both champions retaining. And I don't know if they'd...
If they would do that?
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. That makes sense.
So, it's, you know, it's kind of a one-note argument, but that's really...
It makes sense, and, you know, I'm really hoping that they bring back Money in the Bank at WrestleMania, as much as I love the actual pay-per-view.
It's a great way to kick off WrestleMania.
And it's a great way to get guys on the show.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what other matches are there going to be right now? I got the champions, both championships.
Two championships.
Maybe a Divas match in there somewhere.
Diva, Rock and Cena.
Rock and Cena, some sort of celebrity match.
And Undertaker's streak.
I feel like there needs to be, like, it wouldn't seem right if guys like R-Truth, Miz, Ziggler, those guys.
Well, again, I think I mentioned it before, but...
And I mean, I'm pretty sure there's going to be some sort of Abomination tag team match, like, last year with the core versus, you know, random mixture of guys last year.
But, you know, right now, look at who's, you know, going on. Taker, who's going to disappear right after this. Rock, who's going to disappear right after this. Triple H, who won't be in the ring again. Chris Jericho, who...
Might last for a little while.
Yeah, but
he's going to leave again because he's going to tour.
Anybody who's been watching this show, who's, you know, a fairly new guy, who's been watching for 8 months... doesn't know any of these names.
No.
So anybody that they're
invested
in... You're
going to expect them to get excited about a pay-per-view, the biggest pay-per-view ever.
Yeah.
Centered around guys that hasn't even been around for the past few months.
Yeah. So people they're invested in, which are, yeah, R-Truth and Miz and Dolph Ziggler, and these guys need to be on the show. So...
The best way to do that, I feel, is Money in the Bank.
I concur.
Mm-hmm.
Bring back Money in the Bank.
Arr.
I think that's our show for this week.
That's our llama?
That's the llama, sir. All right. Until next time, this has been Classy Ring Attire. Huzzah!
Huzzah!